One man, one mission, to equip the Church of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and awaken the Church to the voice of the Spirit. David Cuppett brings to you the School of the Holy Spirit from one of his many missions from around the world, where he aligns with apostolic leaders to eradicate spiritual blindness and reveal the true authority of believers in Christ, to prophesy, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. Open your heart and get ready to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you in this week's session of the School of the Holy Spirit. School is in session.
We came in plowing Friday night with a prophecy for the transition that the Lord is leading this organization into. And man, it was pretty rough. You may say, why are things rough? Well, when you're confronting a stronghold and you're breaking through a stronghold, you know, Satan gets furious. The parable of the sower says that, you know, when the word of the Lord, meaning the spoken word, gets dropped in the heart of a man, Satan comes to steal the seed. He does not want that seed to take root, because if it takes root, it has the ability to reproduce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. And so opposition, when you're doing prophetic ministry, is expected. But once you break through, the alignment with the Holy Spirit last night and what he verified with his glory coming last night, and people not able to get off the ground, right? The evidence of the Lord agreeing with what you're saying and doing is his glory. He said, I would make myself known when you speak what I'm saying, right? And his glory last night, man, we could have stayed here all night. It was just like, oh my, it was intoxicating, right? It's a drug. It is my drug. I used to be on drugs. I used to drink alcohol 5-6 days a week to kill the pain, until I met the one who could literally fuel me. And that addiction that my flesh had to numb the pain, the Lord actually fueled my spirit and intoxicated me. I didn't need the drugs of the world, right? You with me? So I became addicted to the intoxication. Anybody addicted to the intoxication? You know, we drove the point home last, or I should say the Holy Spirit drove the point home last night, why he gives you the gift of tongues, actually so you could actually reach out and dwell in the intoxication, the glory of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? It's our birthright. Amen. That's our place. And if you aren't in that place, you got to get to that place. And the way you get to that place is you let the Spirit, right, pray through you, right? And I felt the Lord wanting to reemphasize that message, because it took us to a really awesome place last night in the Spirit. Amen. And I'll just tell you a quick story, because the value of the gift and recognizing why Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit, it's not like this optional thing that you can once in a while engage in. It is actually the gospel. The Spirit of God is the gospel that takes you into the heavenly realms, past the middle wall of separation, past what the law could not take you into, and that Holy Spirit takes you into the realms of glory. Amen? Amen. And that's what showed up last night. Amen? So when the Lord was teaching me about the gift of tongues, and why his Holy Spirit was so important, back in 2010, 2011, the Lord had me buy every possible book I can get my hands on the gift of tongues. I read everything I could find. And when I was done, and when I thought I knew what a whole bunch of men wrote about tongues, the Lord says, okay, now do you want me to teach you what I really want you to know about tongues? And I'm telling you, he messed me up, man, because I was reading as a mere man trying to understand a spiritual principle. But when he took me to two particular scriptures, one was Romans 8, 26 and 27, that messed us up last night. You see, the way he messed me up, I got to mess you up. Because I entered his gate in the revelation of that scripture, I get to go around the world and release that revelation. Amen? Amen. And so I'm going to talk about another scripture that he messed me up in. The key difference is the gift of the Spirit teaches through an impartation. He's actually imparting his glory to you. It's tangible. It's faith. It is a substance you cannot see, but it's like he's present, right? And so most of the church dwells in this conceptual trying to understand Christ as an ideology in a cessationist viewpoint. You know, most of the church actually says, oh yeah, that Holy Spirit thing, that doesn't exist anymore. God doesn't speak. And I taught you last night the two laws, right? The law of Moses that could not save you versus the law of the Spirit, which is the only way that you are brought into the realms of heaven. Amen? And so as the Lord was teaching me this and he messed me up, he put me in situations where I had to trust him in supernatural ways. And I started preaching in the prison in 2010 and 2011. And I remember the first time, actually the second time I was driving to the prison, the only way I got to preach in the prison was that the guy that was, from our church, that, he was like this radical dude, man. He was a radical Holy Ghost dude. And he actually got kicked out of the prison. Okay. And so, my pastor comes to me and I'm like, I'm already doing the youth. I'm already doing the men's group. I'm already doing prophetic ministry nights and stuff. And he goes, I know you're busy. And oh, by the way, you work a full-time job, but I also need you to go to the prison. And I'm like, holy heck. All right. So I sign up. I get into the prison. I preach in the prison. And the only words my pastor told me, he says, whatever you do, I know you're a Holy Ghost guy too, but don't push this over the edge and get kicked out. I'm like, okay, I'll try. I don't know what that means. I'm like, you know me. I only have an on switch and an off switch, so I don't know what you expect me to do, but I'm going to go, right? So, you know, I go the first time, and, you know, it was cool. You know, God showed up. But the second time I was driving the prison, I'm very conscious because my pastor's like, do not mess this up. I'm driving to the prison. And I forget what message I had prepared, but I'm driving to the prison and the Lord invades my car and he says, today you're going to teach these prisoners about the gift of tongues. And I'm like, no, please, there is no way. I'm going to get kicked out. I'm going to get kicked out. And he says, I want you to teach the prisoners about the gift of tongues. I want these men baptized in my Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I pulled over. I literally, it was an hour to get to this prison. I pulled over and I said, Lord, are you serious? Like, and I mean, it was like, I mean, I'm like, oh, it's just like, I knew it was like, it's on, right? I told you over the last few days, Jesus likes to pick fights. And if you begin to expect in God to overcome impossible things, that's the place where God shows up. When he leads you into the impossible and you let God show up, you expect God to show up. And so I get to the prison, the chaplain who was a cessationist, that's why the previous guy got kicked out. You know, a guy who doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't believe the Holy Spirit is for today, that all you're supposed to do is read scripture and try to achieve it. And somehow you're made new simply because you choose it. And so I knew I was in a very delicate situation. So the chaplain takes me in and I get into this room. There's 50 prisoners in this room, okay? And I stand up and I don't know how this is going to go, but as I'm walking up to begin speaking in front of the men, there's a knock on the door and a prison guard opens the door, whispers in the chaplain's ear, and the chaplain walks out the door and the prison guard is now sitting. And so the chaplain has been removed. The hindrance of what I'm about to do has been removed. And I'm like, my God, you're with me. I'm with you. All right. I should say I'm with you because you told me what to do. You were going to make a way, right? It's an awesome revelation to trust that if he tells you to do something, he's going to make a way, right? So I get up there, man, and I don't know how much time I have. So I start hammering on the Holy Spirit, kind of like last night, okay? And as I start to preach about the Holy Spirit, there were all kind of men in this room. I mean, you get a bunch of prisoners in the room. There's all kind. There's Hindus. There's Muslim. There's all different kind of Wiccan and Satanists. And but you know, those guys really weren't saying anything to me. When I started to preach about the Holy Spirit, there were five. I won't use the denomination. I won't announce the guilty. But there were five cessationists that were trained in anti-Holy Spirit theology. And as I started to preach about the Holy Spirit, they were heckling me. What do you have to lose in prison, man? I mean, right? I mean, they're having fun heckling the preacher. I mean, and they were good at it too. They were dropping some good jokes. And I mean, they're heckling me, and the ringleader, he's back there, ha ha ha, and you know, this guy's a fool and all this stuff, and I'm just preaching about the Holy Ghost. And you know, when opposition comes, that's when God shows up the biggest. Because I kid you not, when I went in there, there was one guy that knew the Holy Spirit at praying in tongues. Nobody else knew anything about the Holy Spirit, let alone the gift of tongues, okay? So as I'm preaching about the gift of tongues, and these hecklers are back there, and I don't know how this is going to go, because the hecklers are actually getting their attention, right? But I keep rolling on the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, this guy sitting on my right, he starts to weep. He starts to shake. He starts to cry. And out of his mouth comes this language. I'm like, my God, you are a miracle worker. This guy falls forward. He's shaken. And the whole crowd, including the cessationists, went, oh, what's that? I said, that's the gift of tongues. And the Holy Spirit is here to empower you. And all of a sudden, the guy beside him, he falls forward. Then the guy beside him, boom, he falls forward. And pretty soon it went like dominoes around the room. And I'm going, oh my God, the whole room except the five cessationists are sitting in the back and they're shocked. The whole room is praying in the Holy Spirit. These prisoners, hardened prisoners, are weeping. Praying in tongues, this language, this miracle worker God shows up into the room. Amen? And all of a sudden, you know, when you have a group of bullies, you always have a ringleader, and then you have the weaker ones that, you know, if the bully's winning, the rest of them are good. But if the bully starts to get punched in the face, they start to run, right? Well, all of a sudden, week number five, he starts to weep. He's like, my God, I can't stop this. I don't know what's happening to me. The presence, and out of his mouth, the gift of tongues. I kid you not. And the bully is like, he's looking like, I thought you were with me, man. I thought you were with me. And I kid you not, one by one, boom, 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 the only man in the room who did not get the gift of tongues that day was the ringleader of those heckling me. And dude, the fear of God came on that guy. And I don't know what happened to him afterward, but after the last guy, number 49, started praying in tongues, knock on the door, the guard gets up. The guard is like, what did I just witness? And he didn't know if this was normal or not. He was just watching, right? He gets up. He takes his key, puts it in the thing, opens the door, runs down the hall. The chaplain comes into a room full of men who are crying and praying in tongues. I packed up my stuff. I walked out the door. He took me to the end. I was done, right? Can God work miracles? Yes. That was one of the beginnings, like, my God is a miracle worker. And if he sends me to do a specific thing, he will make a way. Amen? I believe in what he says. I believe in the assignment he gives me and what he tells me to do. Amen? That's a pretty cool story, right? But here's the deal. Why is the bulk of so-called Christianity powerless? Not hearing the voice, not functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a question we have to ask, because just because you claim to be a Christian, you can know what the Scripture says, but knowing what the Scripture says is actually completely opposite of knowing him, right? Paul actually said it this way, I pray that you would know him beyond knowledge. Ephesians 3:19, I pray that you would know him beyond mere knowledge. And the difference is you can learn scripture with your head, but revelation comes through an impartation. It comes by a spiritual connection with the Spirit of God that only he can unveil. And when you get revelation, you get a power of the Spirit. You get an ability you didn't have because it's not you walking by yourself. It's an impartation. He is present, bringing the impartation, bringing the revelation where you go. That's why those who walk in the vision of God are carrying heaven. They're carrying the ability to change people's lives. Not trying to convince them he's real, releasing him upon the people. Amen? It's an impartation. The kingdom works by an impartation. So if you don't have anything to give, what are you giving? You can talk about scripture all day long, but until you've received from him, it's in the receiving that you give. Jesus said, freely you receive, freely you give. Amen? And so, you know, shame is a hindrance. Shame is something that is very significant that keeps people from the presence of God. We spent a whole lot of time last night breaking in to the glory, breaking into the throne room, right? Where we had this revelation, how the gift of tongues is literally the Holy Spirit taking you by the hand and taking you past the veil into the presence of the Lord. And that's why he gives you the gift of tongues, to actually go into the glory. You don't have to work. You don't have to like memorize and do all this stuff. When you go into the glory, he actually brings you back out to say, hey, I want you to go to Romans 8:2. I want you to go here. I have something to impart to you. I have something to give you. That's completely different. That's living Christ dependent versus man trying to self-define something. There's a huge difference. One's living and one's dead. But this shame keeps us from the presence of the Lord. And in Genesis 7, if you go to Genesis 3, verse 7, up to this point, right, you have the serpent coming to deceive a man and a woman who have been given the gift of walking in the glory of the Lord. It says that Adam and Eve are walking with the Lord and they're hearing his voice, right? They're communing as sons and daughters of the Lord. They're in the glory, right? And Satan comes to tempt them. And verse 7, after they ate the fruit, after they ate the poison of giving up knowing him for knowledge, right? They gave up knowing him for a fruit from a tree of knowledge. They gave up literally the power of relationship and ability and one who sustains and keeps them in all things, for a really strange temptation to know something instead of knowing the king. Amen? And so you get to verse 7, and the impact of the poison is this. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened. What's that mean? It actually means that they were actually walking in the spirit. Their eyes were open to the spirit realm. Like what I've been doing this week with visions and prophesying to people out of visions, they actually were in the vision of the Lord. And when they ate the poison, they gave up the face-to-face encounter with the presence of the Lord. And they actually became focused on what this world is right now, which is a natural world. They gave up knowing for knowledge, right? They became conscious not of what God was saying and the vision and the relationship. They became conscious of a world that was without the presence, right? Well, how does that apply to me? Great question, Dave. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. They knew they were no longer clothed in glory. They knew they were not in the place of the glory. Even though they were still on the earth, they weren't spiritual. They stepped out of the spirit and into the natural. And that's a big deal, because if you understand why Jesus gave you the spirit, is to bring you back into the spirit realm. You are no longer a mere man. You are born again. The meaning of born again is that you are no longer bound in this world. You are now alive in Christ, in the power of the Spirit, able to go into the throne room to see and have the vision of the Lord as he speaks to you and imparts to you and reveals to you. right? In relationship. So it says that Adam and Eve knew they were naked, and what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering. Anybody make themselves a covering? The number one thing that people, when they grow up as young people, what am I? What am I supposed to do? Where do I go? The whole identity concept, right? And so what do most people do? Or what is your only option without Christ? You put on your own clothes. You put on your own coverings. So it says that Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves and put on an identity because they knew they were naked. They knew they were outside of the glory. So they had to latch hold of something. They had to cover their shame, right? Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you, Adam? Who said you were naked? Who deceived you? Who took you out of my glory? Who took you out of my presence? Right? And Adam says, so when I heard your voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked. I knew I was naked. I knew I was outside of the realm that I lived in with you. So I hid myself. And that's a picture of modern day church that tries to claim they know God without being in the spirit realm, without being in his glory, without being in his presence. Because the evidence of you being restored in Christ is that you are no longer alone. No longer are you identifying yourself and covering yourself according to what you think you are. You actually are in the throne room, hearing the voice of the Lord, able to become, through prophecy, dreams, and visions, what he says. And so the way you walk in glory on the earth is you hear and become. He identifies what you are, right? So there's no apple eaters in here, right? No apple eaters, right? You see evidence. What's the evidence of an apple eater? You know, we talked last night about a prayer life. The most important thing why he gives you the Holy Spirit is that you actually have the revelation of the power of the gift of tongues, that gift is actually to bring you into the throne room. The Holy Spirit literally is sent to take you by the hand to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And so why do people not have a prayer life? Because they've accepted a form of Christianity where they claim that Jesus is their Savior, but they're still covering themselves in their own identity because they're not dwelling in the presence of the Lord. They're actually counting on what they know. No vision, no dreams, no visitations, no heavenly encounters, no angels talking to you, not being woken up by Christ in the middle of the night, asking you to pray, asking you to intercede, asking you to go down to the local grocery store, asking you to go wherever he's asking you to do because you're depending on him to clothe you, right? And you may say, well, like, what's the significance of it? Well, the significance of it that only Jesus Christ is the shame breaker. Only Jesus Christ can rip off your false identity. Jesus Christ is the one. He's the sacrifice. He's the one who came perfectly under the law of Moses, who nobody else could achieve. And he goes and takes your sin, right? Sin is a symbol of what separates you from God. A lot of people think that sin, the right definition of sin, is wrongdoing. Your wrongdoing is not what God's really concerned about. Your sin is actually being separated from him. Because if you have the revelation of Christ, Christ's blood is perfect. He came overcoming sin. He conquered sin and death. He goes into the pit of hell and he comes out not only with the keys of life, but he carries the keys of death. He holds all the keys. He holds all ability. He holds all authority. Christ Jesus holds all authority. And so Christ is your living Savior who overcomes shame and sin and everything else that hinders you from being far, far away from the voice of the Lord. And the point of Christ sending the Holy Spirit upon you is that the Holy Spirit is the very one who actually takes you from death into resurrection. Right? The scripture says, as you are in the likeness of his death, as you die to self, so too shall you be in the likeness of his resurrection. Meaning that the Holy Ghost is the only one who can come into your tomb, just like he came into the tomb of Jesus and he rose Jesus up, right? Jesus was resurrected by the Spirit. And it's the symbol of being resurrected is connected to the way Jesus walked. Jesus walked on the earth going into prayer, waiting for the next impartation of the Spirit, right? John 5:19, I only do what I see my Father doing. So Jesus goes into prayer to get vision, to get an impartation. I'm going to the woman at the well. I'm going, to the demoniac. I'm going, right? I know where we're going. God is with me. Just like the story I told you about me going into the prison with an assignment. That's the way Jesus walked, right? And so the point of sending the Holy Ghost is the revelation of who clothes you. And that's the question to you, church. Who clothes you? Who identifies you? Because you can claim Jesus all day long, but the point of the Holy Spirit is that you would no longer hide yourself in a false identity. It was the Holy Spirit who would clothe you. Jesus said this in Luke 24:49, stay in this city until I send the Spirit of God to clothe you. The symbolism of that is the fullness of restoration. That man was taken out of the glory of God, right? And when he was taken out of the glory of God, Jesus didn't come. Jesus wasn't sent just to take care of what you do bad. He was actually sent to ultimately send the same resurrection power upon you, who will take you by the hand if you embrace him and let him take you into the throne room of God, because that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can get you there. You can't get there yourself. Self-proclaimed Christianity that believes that Christ is simply a decision. Christ is not a decision. Christ is an impartation and a reliance on the same power that resurrected Christ to take you by the hand and bring you up to this altar, and your heart dwells in this revelation that I will dwell in no other place but in the presence of my God at the altar of the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's an awesome revelation, right? My God! He's repositioning you out of powerless, dead, infested world into the place where you are past the veil, past the point of separation, and you are in the presence of the glory of God where all things are possible. A lot of people like to quote the scripture, all things are possible. My question to you is, are you in the glory? Because if you're in the glory, if you're dwelling in his presence and he's leading you through life with specific statements, specific assignments, specific purposes, then the glory of God will manifest in your life just like he manifested in that prison. But if you're over here on the other side saying, I believe in Jesus, but you're not dwelling in the power of the Holy Spirit in the presence of Almighty God, letting him identify you, letting him clothe you, then you're missing the point. You see, because as the Lord was teaching me about the Holy Spirit, and after I had read a whole bunch of books that were written by men, the Lord actually had to take me to some scriptures to reveal the true meaning of what he wanted to reveal in my life. Amen? And it changed me. You know why it changed me? Because he started dismantling my identity. He started dismantling my strength. He started dismantling what I trusted in. He started ripping apart all the lies, all the hurt, all the pain, all the things that the world defined me as. And when he was ripping them off and I'm sitting there like this, these pieces are literally falling off of me. It's like I'm stepping out. Right, new creature? It's like you're stepping out. It's like the world no longer limits you and binds you. It's like this eagle, this ox, this new creature gets pulled out of you, re-identifying you. Amen? And I'm referencing a prophecy that he received last night about breaking out of what's been holding him back. Amen? But the revelation of the Holy Ghost, man, Jesus hasn't held anything back from you. Let's just make that point clear. So if you're dwelling in a depressed state, if you're dwelling in a fearful state, if you're dwelling in an angry state, guess what? The Holy Spirit is waiting for you today to let Him take you by the hand and take you into the realm of glory, where all that junk, all those lies, all those bad relationships, all those misgivings and all the pain of the world literally falls off of you, because that's not who you are. You're a son and daughter of God who dwells in the realm of glory. Amen? Anybody getting excited? You see, the choice in the concept of Christianity is a really big deal, because the Lord actually gives man a will. He lets you choose, right? I went over those scriptures last night in Romans 8. He ultimately says, with my mind, I have to choose the oracle of God. I am no longer going to let my flesh try to achieve the letter of the law. With my mind, I am going to choose to go into that throne room, because that's the intent of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to align my mind with what the Holy Spirit is saying, and I'm going to dwell in the realm of the Holy Spirit, where anything is possible. Say this with me. Say, Holy Ghost, open my spiritual eyes that I would see every false identity that I still hang on to. And I give you permission, Holy Spirit. Rip it off of me. Rip off the lies. Rip off the powerlessness. Rip off the pain. Rip off the drug addictions. Rip everything off that hinders me from being who I am in Christ. Speak to me, Holy Spirit, in the realm of glory. Identify me. Come on, you just gave the potter commands, man. You just gave the potter commission to dismantle the lies in your life. To dismantle every lie that hinders you. You see, the point of recognizing the power of the Spirit versus the letter is a very important thing. And there's some symbolism you got to understand. You see, when man sinned, the Lord had a plan, okay? The Lord had a plan to restore. And we get to the point of Moses and the Israelites, right? The Lord comes and rescues them. He gets them out of bondage, and He takes them to the desert, where they're supposed to learn one thing. You know what you're supposed to learn in the desert? You're supposed to learn the voice of the Lord. You're supposed to dwell on the voice. The voice will lead you to rocks, impossible places where water is going to flow out. He'll lead you to bitter waters where it feels like there's nothing good going to come out of this place. And all of a sudden, a cross is thrown in the bitter water and it becomes sweet, right? He leads you into battles with giants, impossible places where you have to fight, but you depend on the voice of the Lord. And when you become so profound in the desert, knowing that the voice of God leads you into battle to be victorious in all things, then He takes you into promise. But in the midst of all that, Moses and Israel stops at the mountain, and Moses is called up the mountain with an intent to bring the nation to the voice. Moses goes up the mountain, and the Lord gives Moses the Ten Commandments, right? You know, there's a difference between the first version of the Ten Commandments and the second version. The first version of the Ten Commandments, it says that God fashioned them, and they were made out of sapphire. It was a tablet of sapphire where the Ten Commandments were written, and that those Ten Commandments were written on a stone that was transparent. So on one side, you would have the writings of the Lord, and on the other side, you would have this flowing, living water that was on the other side of the stone. And when you looked on both sides, you could see through it. It was a symbol of the Lord restoring His voice to the nation. What happens? Shame is still bound upon the nation of Israel. And Moses walks down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. What's he see the nation doing? Right? They're worshiping Baal. And they get to the point where Moses was actually, there was actually an invitation to come up the mountain, but they said, no, Moses, you go here for us. Moses was so angry, he broke the tablets. So later on in the book of Exodus, the Lord calls Moses back up the mountain, and he says, he basically says this, Moses, you fashion the writings. God didn't fashion the writings in the second tablets, and they weren't on sapphire. They were on a piece of rock that you couldn't see through. And the reason he gave them writings on a rock that you couldn't see through was to reflect their hard heart. Because their hard heart, until a nation falls on their face and recognizes they need God and not the gods of this world. Amen? You with me? And so the prophecy was that there would be a time coming that the intent of God would be made known, and through Jesus Christ, that the nations of the world would be brought back to the voice, to the oracle, because the original Ten Commandments were supposed to bring a nation up the mountain to meet him face to face, but shame kept them back. And so you know what? They needed a shame breaker. Who's the shame breaker? Jesus Christ, baby. Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the one who conquered all shame, all sin on death. It says that he took your sin and shame on the cross, and he took it into the pit. And when the Holy Ghost came and resurrected him up, you were given opportunity to come back into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so why does Jesus give so much value on the Holy Spirit? Everybody references that Jesus gave one command. Yeah, love one another. Yeah, that's important. But he actually gave the greatest gift that is the only way you can actually love is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave one thing. One thing. He said, stay in this city. I'm sending you the valuable relational dynamic of the Spirit of God, and it is going to lead you through life the way it has led me. That's a pretty amazing picture, right? It's like, my God, all the weight is off of me. Because Christ took it to the grave, and all I have to do is grab hold of the Holy Spirit. And this amazing Holy Spirit has a job to speak to you and to bring you into the glory of God. That you would not accept being on the bottom of the mountain like the Israelites. No, you go up there, Moses. No, you, pastor, you go here for me. Crickets. No, pastor, you go here for me. No, that's not the church. One of the most profound disillusions of the Catholic Church is that a priest stands up and gives you the body in a Eucharist and speaks things over people, and the body as a whole is actually trained to not read Scripture, to not go to the Holy Spirit. They're actually trained to confess to a man instead of going to the high priest who sits in the throne room of God, and the Holy Ghost can take you where you are made new by the power of the Holy Ghost instead of sitting in a confessional your whole life, still broken, still lost, still all the worldly misidentifications of men. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit in here today, man. I just feel this settling on you with this simplicity of this is not a complicated gospel as man has made it. This is about you being baptized in the Holy Spirit and grabbing hold of the gift of the Spirit of God and trusting the Spirit of God, particularly with the gift of tongues, whose intent is to bring you close, to rip off all the fig leaves that you've been convinced by the world that you have to put on yourself. How do I protect myself? How do I make my money? How do I keep myself safe? How do I ever get over the fact that I was molested? How do I ever get over the fact that I was left for broke and orphaned? How do I ever do it? You know how? You grab hold of the most powerful gift that Jesus Christ gives you, and actually expect him to resurrect you and rip all the lies of shame, all the misgivings, all the false identities off of you. And you become a supernatural thing. People say, how did the Lord start sending you to India? How did the Lord start sending you and connecting you with people all over North America? Well, you know what? He spent 7 years from 2005 to 2012 literally ripping false identities out of me. When I fell in love with the Holy Spirit, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was radical, man. All I did was pray in tongues. All I did was, I would pray all night in tongues. And I'd be like 3 hours into praying in tongues at 2 a.m. And all of a sudden the Lord would come to me and he would start saying, you remember when you wrecked your car and your dad screamed at you and you hid. I literally, dude, it brought back a flashback memory. And I remember I was so scared. My dad was screaming at me. I was a senior in high school. I ran up to my room and I opened the window because I didn't know if he was going to break down that door. And if I had to jump out that window, I shook all night long. You may say, well, that's not that really big of a deal. Well, to a kid, it was a big deal, right? And we all have these traumas. We all have these things that the Lord actually wants to dig up. And those traumas, those broken things, the things where you were taken advantage of, they play a big role in how you see yourself. That's how you see yourself broken. That's how you see yourself unqualified. And man, as I was through that season, man, I had deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. Some of it was just simply revelatory. Some of it was, oh yeah, there's a demon with that one. We're getting that demon out, right? Man, I went through deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. Anybody, wait, I'm not speaking to the right crowd. You guys all had a perfect life, right? You guys are all perfect. Man, I met my deliverer, man. I met the shame breaker. I met the healer. I met the one who gives me a purpose. I met him. I didn't meet him by a guy talking about scripture in a pulpit. I met him because I fell in love. I couldn't stop praying, and he would speak to me. He would speak to me sometimes all night long. All night long. Ripping lies out of me. Ripping inabilities out of me. You're going to go to the nations, Dave. You're going into the prisons. I'm going to send you from coast to coast in this country, and you're going to help lead churches into my glory because of the time you're spending with me right now. All the guys around me chasing a pulpit position. That's a true story, man. All the guys around me wanting a pulpit. I was in a spiritual church, man. That's what you do. Everybody gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and suddenly everybody's Billy Graham. I sat and did what my pastor asked me to do for a decade. All the while, praying like a madman, in love, waiting for the Spirit of God to rip the next thing out of me, to make me who I am. It was an amazing time in my life. And I just, why is the Lord showing up here this weekend so big with you guys? Because he's going to be ripping out some false identities. He's going to be ripping out every limitation that hinders you from going into the glory. Shame is what keeps you out of the glory room. A false identification that says that you're not important, that you're still broke, that there's not a plan for your life, that there's not a destiny, is what keeps you out of the throne room. The scripture says that you will be visited by angels. The scripture says that you will have dreams, that you will have visions. There will be a continual communication with the Lord as he is the one who writes on your heart. Where's that in scripture, Dave? Well, great question. Great, great question. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You are our epistle, written on our hearts, known and read by men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, hard stone, reflecting a broken, hard heart, but written on flesh, Isn't that, that's the same revelation. That's the prophecy of Ezekiel. I will tear out your heart of stone. I will pour out my spirit on you. I will give you my Holy Ghost, and I will do what only I can do in my presence. I will rip out your heart of stone, and I will begin writing on your heart. My God, I will begin writing on your heart. I don't care what they said you couldn't do. I'm going to start writing on your heart. I'm going to define you. Being defined according to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who gave his life for you and gives you abilities you could never give yourself. My God, what a revelation. The one who's going to rip out your heart of stone. Say this with me. Say, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. In every way, I still hold a heart of stone. That I still hold a heart of stone. That keeps me out of your throne room. Come rip it out, Holy Ghost. I want a heart of flesh. I want a soft heart. One that's malleable, trainable, able to be led, able to believe, fearless. Give me your heart, Lord. Write on me and reveal to me what I am. In Jesus' name. One more scripture and then we're going to pray. Amen. You guys okay? Man, the Lord is just sinking a deep revelation into you guys. Why would you dwell anywhere else? When you have the revelation of the reason why Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit, why would you dwell anywhere else? The most important place is you in the throne room. It's not old religious concepts of coming to church. The goal of the apostolic anointing is to get the body to dwell in the throne room. What was the prophecy on Friday night? That you would not be focused on the place where you're not winning or losing, but the Lord would bring you into the place between the porch and the altar, and there would be a new grace in prayer. There would be a new embrace of the revelation that the Lord is going to begin to write on the filling station in Wellington, Colorado. And as the Lord begins to write new things on the leadership of the filling station, that suddenly the North Gate advances. The North Gate is no longer in a stalemate, but the church begins to advance. Amen? That's a pretty cool prophecy. I don't know about you, but I'll take that one. Go with me to Isaiah 28, verse 9. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. If this doesn't break you free from scripture worship, nothing will. Isaiah 28, verse 9. To whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? The word teach there is the word yada. It's the word that Adam and Eve, when the Lord described Adam and Eve in intimacy, they came together and reproduced. That word is actually used here to reveal the revelation of how you are taught as a people. You are taught by intimacy. You are taught through an intimate relationship. The Lord is asking the question. He's defining it for you so that you would know. To whom will I teach? Through intimacy. And to whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are babes just weaned from milk and taken from the breasts. Verse 10, for it is his prophets repeating over and over, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, here a little, there a little. He's actually saying, is it the guy just regurgitating a bunch of scriptures that has not been led by the Lord to actually direct the body, but simply has a Bible and speaks the Bible? And he's saying, do you think that's how this works? And if you don't believe the understanding of that, Jesus actually uses the same concept in John chapter 5 when he's interacting with the Pharisees, and they're angry. They are so angry because he's saying, I know my Father in heaven. I know what he's doing. I see him. He gives me vision. And the Pharisees are saying, I know what the Bible says. I know what the Torah says, is what they're saying, right? Jesus says this in John 5:38, you search the scriptures because in the scriptures you think there's life, but you can't see me, the living God, standing in front of you. The fear of God should come upon you if you're a Bible worshiper and you don't know Christ. He never called you to worship a Bible. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It is not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. He never called you to be comfortable with words on stone. Only the Holy Ghost can bring life to that Bible. He called you to worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he gave you now the Holy Spirit. And we went over last night that you got an intercessor in heaven. And when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you have this Holy Spirit who will pray through you with a groaning. You have no idea what he's saying. And this power of the Holy Ghost suddenly draws the one from above to impart vision to you. And then understanding come. And that is reinforced in the next line, verse 11. So he paints this picture. How do you get taught? Is it the guy repeating a bunch of scripture? And in verse 11, I'm reading this out of the Amplified. He answers, no. No, you're not taught that way. It's not head knowledge. It's a spiritual impartation. And the Lord says, no. But the Lord will teach the rebels with a more humiliating way, with a stammering lip and another tongue. Well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, not to man it doesn't make sense, but to the Spirit, that's the way of the Spirit. You mean he gives me this strange language where he promises to teach me? Shiala, basi, te, bri, alalabo, she, priya. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. The wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God. And if you're in the wisdom of man right now, you're angry as smoke. You're like, there's no way. I know my Bible. I don't care if you know your Bible. Jesus actually said, he said it's about knowing him. It's not knowing about him. There's a lot of people that know about him. But those who walk with him, those who know him, they know where he's leading. And your life is about obeying his voice, taken back to the oracle of God. Amen. Verse 12, to these unbelieving and hard hearts, he has said, this is the true rest. Is anybody weary? Is anybody in a season where you're weary? This is the way of true rest that you shall give to the weary, and this is the true refreshing. You mean I get refreshed when I decide that I'm going to embrace the Holy Spirit? Shiala, siobreya, were you refreshed last night? Did you get wrecked in the glory of God last night? People walked out of here wobbling. People walked out of here like, I forgot every heavy thing that was weighing me down because the glory of God literally came over me. Woo! This is the rest in which the weary will rest. But here's the deal. The Hebrew language is a picture. And if you study out this phrase, no, the phrase, no, but I will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way with a stammering lip and another tongues. It's a Hebrew picture of a baby crying. When a baby cries, does the mother choose to turn on the milk or does that milk just start coming? You've been around new moms? That baby cries, she's like this. That's what new mothers look like. They're running around going, oh my God, where's that child? And they run into the back room and they get that child right there. And that milk flows. The milk flows. And the picture is a baby crying. That you are to come to God his way and simply cry out his way. What do you mean cry out his way? I don't know what to pray for as I ought. But the Holy Ghost makes intercession for me. And what happens? All of a sudden, the milk starts to flow. the visions start to come. The dreams start to come. The anointing starts to come. The yoke-breaking power of the Holy Ghost starts to come. And no longer are you under a yoke of heaviness that wears you out. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to happen. But somehow you lay down man's wisdom and you choose God's wisdom. And you go, I don't know how it's going to work. But you said you'd show up. You said you'd show up. You said you'd show up. Come on, Jesus, you said you'd show up. Do you get radical with God like that? You said you would come. You see, he can't resist his way. The revelation of this is he can't resist you. You can sit there as a mere man and whine all day. Ooh, lost all my money. Ooh, got taken advantage of. Ooh. And there's mercy that comes to those situations. But if you expecting God in faith, you don't sit there and go, ooh. You go like this. Lord, you promised to show up in my life when I cry out to you as a baby that knows nothing of this world, but I know you and that you promised you would come. And when I cry out in the power of your spirit, you show up in my life. Yeah, yone, breda, bobe, de, yarobo, shate. Yeah, la la ba. Yeah, ma ma ma. Aru. Woo. Yeah. How could one man be sent to India and stand in front of 5,000 people night after night? I went half the time to India without a crew, without a group. I went as one man. How in the world can that happen and see thousands of people come to an altar and get baptized in the Holy Spirit? You know why? Because I went into a dark place and I began to cry. I began to cry out in his language and Shay Nay Bay Bay, he showed up. And it doesn't matter where he takes me. When I start to pray, I know my God is going to show up. Nothing can keep my God from answering me. Nothing. The power of Satan is worthless. When a son and daughter of God begin to cry out, they cannot stop you. You got a revelation of the Holy Ghost? Devil, you're in trouble. You see, the mindset of a son is they know that they are in the dominant position. You're in the dominant position. Satan is not in the dominant position. Whoo, you want to play with me? Te no bay. Robabo sata. Woo! You're in trouble, Satan. You picked the wrong fight. He picked the wrong fight here Friday night. He picked the wrong fight here Friday night. He picked the wrong fight. Because an army of prayer warriors is being birthed at the filling station. People that have a revelation that it's no more playing church. It's about going to war and crying out for the Father as simple sons and daughters, knowing that their Father shows up when they pray. Religion works to deceive you. Religion works to complicate the gospel. Many of you have sat in places where you have all these weird lies, all these weird theologies, these theologies that literally devalue the Holy Spirit. They do. They devalue the Holy Spirit. They actually try to make it all about Jesus and not the Holy Spirit. Not stepping on any sacred cows, am I? It is about Jesus. But if you love Jesus, you love what he values. He sent one thing. Come on, man. Religion puts you on paths of trying to work your way. That's words on a tablet. That's words on stone. To work your way is no different from being a Muslim. It's powerless. Powerless is powerless. The evidence of you in Christ is the power of God. The evidence of you in Christ is a relational reliance, a heart cry, a dependence. And when you cry out, you know he shows up. Amen? Do this with me, church. Let's everybody stand up. Say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, remove the clothing that the enemy put on me. Remove the clothing that I put on myself. I repent for holding on to everything that I thought was true that isn't you. Shake me free of even the deepest things I hold in my heart that defines me, but it isn't you. From this day forward, I want to be what you say I am. Come on, write on my heart, Holy Spirit. Come on, write on my heart, Holy Spirit. Come on, write on my heart, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining this week's episode of the School of the Holy Spirit. For more information or to request David at your church or conference, please go to davidcuppett.org, davidcuppett.org, or 5stoneministries.org. You can also find the School of the Holy Spirit podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Charisma Magazine. For a deeper dive into the Holy Spirit, we encourage you to purchase David's new book entitled Wisdom-Filled Warriors, available on Amazon. We pray that you will encounter the Holy Spirit in a transforming way and become all that Christ has prophesied over your life.